Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is 27 books. 27 books in the New Testament. And we're going to read all of it today. We're going to be here a while. This is not intended to be a New Testament survey in one sitting, but the scripture covers between about 4 BC to 95 to 100 AD, Roman Empire for all of it, Augustus, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, Nero, Domitian were the rulers. You had the Herodians, you had the Sanhedrin running the Jews, and in the midst of all that, Jesus. So let's start with Matthew chapter 6. So I'll read you a few out of some of these books and one out of others. And you say, well, this is going to be random. There's going to be nothing random about it. I've chosen selected verses that are key to those books, and you'll see a thread through all of this. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Stop chasing other kingdoms, other things. Chase the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything else you need will be added. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You figure those two things out, your whole life will change. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul. You get this going. Then you love your neighbor as yourself, which implicit in that is you love yourself. So you start loving your neighbor the way you love yourself. Your life's going to change. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It is okay to be served for if you're a child, if you're an infant, if you're a newborn and you just followed Christ. At some point, you got to grow up and realize it's not about you. We are not here to be served. We are here to serve. And that's the example he gave, and to give his life a ransom for many. John chapter 3, verse 16. That verse has started to pop up at ball games again. There used to be some guy with a rainbow wig that used to hold it up behind home plate a lot years ago. Some people have no clue what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Basic. That's kind of what John is about. But look at John 14:6. Jesus said to him, this is Jesus speaking, and what does he say? I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Stop apologizing for how you get to God. You say, well, that's very narrow. You didn't make it up. It's not like we dream this up. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So is there any other way to get to the Father but through Jesus? No, because Jesus said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So just tell people that. You say, well, they don't agree. It's not your problem. Tell them what Jesus said and let them take it up with Jesus. Romans 3:23, pretty basic stuff. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't care how nice you are, you've fallen and you can't get up by yourself. Well, I don't need God. I'm a nice person. You're a sinner. It says it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So you're not going to make it without Jesus. Romans 6:23. So if that's your situation, you're a sinner. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. What are you going to get for sinning? You're going to get paid in death, but you can take another play in. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Take the gift. Romans 8:28. God works for the good of those who love him in this verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't mean everything is good. It means it works together for the good. You say, but I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what he's allowed. You don't get to pick that. Okay? You say, well, what do I do? You have to be able to say, okay, God, I trust you. We know, we're Christians, we know that all things work together for good. For who? To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's me. Hopefully that's you. So you go, but this sucks. This is terrible. Let him work it together for good and see what happens. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You say, well, I don't know how to share the gospel with people. Read them that. That's the gospel. Underline it. Put a leaf in your Bible. Do something and then memorize it and say, oh, I know what the gospel is. It's right here. Died for our sins according to the scriptures. Buried. Rose again. That is the gospel. You say, well, how's anybody going to get saved just hearing that? I don't know. How are you going to put a watermelon seed in the ground and get a big old watermelon? It's a thing. Plant the seed. Let God do his thing. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It'd be very fascinating if I did a survey and said, of all these verses that I'm reading today, how many of you know a certain percentage of them by heart? A ton of these, if you've been a Christian a long time, you know by heart. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in other words, in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, take the cross out of the New Testament and you have nothing left. The whole Bible pivots around the death of Christ, and the New Testament is a proclamation of that victorious redemptive act. Everything in history points to that weekend. That weekend was about that, and everything from now looking back points back to that weekend when Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and raised from the dead. It's all about that. And the whole book, the cross is like rebar to the building. There is nothing without the cross of Christ. You have no hope without Jesus dying first on that cross, sacrificing his life, then being buried and conquering death, being raised from the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. It's interesting, even back within this 100-year span, a little over 100 years, when these things were written, I believe that these people back then, when Jesus was buried, raised from the dead, said he was coming back, man, they were like every day, like, okay, he's coming back. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday. It's Thursday. He's coming back. And then people would start to mock him and say, well, where's the promise of his return? He's been gone, you know, now 2,000 years. He ain't coming back. Let me tell you something. He's coming back. And if a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day, he's only been gone a couple of days. But he's coming back. And they had questions about what would happen. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's coming. Now, if Jesus returns before I die, I'll be beamed out of here. I'll be lifted straight out of here. Like Jesus ascended into heaven, we'll be out of here. You think, well, I'll hit my head on the ceiling. It's not a thing. You'll be out of here. But if you die before he returns, then when this happens, you're out of here. Your physical body reconstituted, you'll be raised from the dead. And these people had questions about this. And if you go on to read that, it says, therefore, comfort one another with these things. It's going to be okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It doesn't matter how old you are. They say, well, no one will follow me. If you do all those things, be an example, word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, purity, they'll follow you. Forget how old you are, lead. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this is part of the reason why I love reading scripture to you. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, ruach, breathed by God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You're not going to live the Christian life without the word of God. And the scripture is given for that purpose, these purposes. Titus 3:5. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Again, back to Ephesians, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You got to stop when the question is, if you died, where would you go? And you say, well, I hope to heaven. And you say, well, why? Well, I've been a pretty good person. It has nothing to do with it. You're never going to be good enough to deserve his sacrifice. And if you being good could put a down payment or some kind of deal, it's not a partnership. It's all him. Philemon 1:16. This may be for some of you the first time you didn't know Philemon was in here. Yeah, like what? That's in my Bible? Philemon 1:16, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. A slave being told to go back. Read Philemon. Great story. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith, you cannot please God without faith. You got to believe him. You say, well, I can't see it yet. That's the purpose of faith. It gives substance to things hoped for, evidence to things not seen. I read in the book of Revelation throughout the scriptures about heaven, slabs of precious stones, the new heaven, 1,000 miles by 1,000 miles by 1,000 miles. They've calculated 1,000,000 miles of road in that cube. You say, well, how do you know that's real? Because Hebrews 11:1 tells me it is. Because it talks about it in here. So it's not going to talk about it in here if it's not legit. But I haven't seen it yet. I haven't been there yet. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. So my faith gives substance to that place. Evidence of things not seen. It's just a matter of time. I'll see it. It'll be bigger and better than anything I ever dreamed. But I'll see it. Because by faith, I already know it exists. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, this is pretty simple out of James. What does that mean? If you think you can just listen to scripture and not apply it, you're deceiving yourself. What do you mean I'm deceiving myself? You think that's all it is? Oh, go to some church gathering and listen to a message and then go live your life like you were living it? You're deceiving yourself. Your life's never going to change until you apply what you hear. James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So you say, well, I'm a Christian. I've got faith. Your faith is going to trigger action. You're going to do something. Doing something will never save you, but an indication that you are saved is that you do something. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's like having dual citizenship, like two passports. I'm an American citizen, but I'm also a citizen of heaven. But this sounds better than being an American citizen. Look what this says, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, own special people. And what's the purpose of all this? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. People say, I don't know what that is. It's coming to America. Anybody ever see this movie? How old am I? This is terrible. African prince comes to New York trying to find a bride, doesn't tell anybody he's an African prince, right? He's in disguise. You say, but he didn't look like a prince. Oh, and he grabbed that broom in the McDougal's or whatever. What was the place called? What was it called? McDowell's. Look at all these white people know that what this is. A lot of good stuff in that movie. The protectors on the back of the couches. See, we don't know about these things without movies in the living room. He grabbed that broom. A prince is in there. He said, well, he didn't look like a prince. You cannot look like a prince and be a prince. Live like a prince. Live like, who are you? You say, well, I need to put something on to be recognized. No, you don't. You got the Lord Jesus Christ on. All this stuff. You're an emissary. You've been left here for a purpose. You're a servant of the Most High God. You're a child of God, right? So I got two passports. I got one for the U.S. and I got one for heaven. And my passport to heaven has got a visa in it, a permanent visa, stamped in the blood of Jesus. So when I show my passport at the pearly gates, welcome. You got you a passport? You got you a visa? Don't be waiting till you get to the gates. It'll be too late. Who are you? Who am I? See, this is not a question of being better than anyone else. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, the Bible says, but it doesn't say don't think highly of yourself. Why would I not think highly of myself? It's extremely humbling, but God chose me. He decided to move into my body. He decided to use me. If I would just get out of the way, all authority has been given to him. He lives in me. The Holy Spirit moved in. I have power. I love him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. My neighbor is myself. I love myself. You can't walk around depressed anymore knowing these things. You can't walk around with your head down. You lift up your head. You look around and you go, I'm here. I'm here for a purpose. Every once in a while I have the thought, maybe somebody says, well, you know, you didn't accomplish much. You know, you all these guys in these mega churches out there, and how's that turned out for some of them, right? Well, what did you accomplish? Now listen to me very carefully today. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, my answer to the best of my ability will be, you called me, I answered, and I did what you told me to do, where you told me to do it. And if that's not enough, I don't know what to say to you. And if there was something bigger, bad, or better, I didn't hear that. And if I missed it, I apologize. But as far as I know, you told me to spend my life in that place with those people, and I did what you said, and I have no regrets about that. And if I could have done more or reached more people, I don't know about that. I tried to obey. Can you say that to the Lord Jesus Christ? When you drop dead in your interview with him, when your life is subjected to the fire, will you be able to say, I heard your voice, I did what you told me to do? And he says, great job, well done, good, faithful servant, let's go. Because what if you spend your whole life chasing your dream? It wasn't his dream, your goal, it wasn't his goal. And you're successful here, but you're a failure there. You better make sure all this stuff lines up with his plan and purpose for your life, or you are missing it. You say, but if I do what he wants me to do, it won't impress anyone. What if it impresses him that you obeyed him? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. Why? Why would I cast all my care on Jesus? Says it right here. For he cares for you. My little brother is going through some horrible stuff still. And his son-in-law, I don't know how this went down, but somehow orchestrated, my brother ended up spending 4 hours with Max Lucado the other day. And I asked him when he got done, what happened? He said he listened. Now my brother's situation has not changed, but he was able to cast his cares on someone who cared for him. Just because you've never had anybody in your life that cared for you doesn't mean that he doesn't care for you. So you take your cares and you throw them on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Let's see, you say, well, that's just one verse. That's a big old verse if you figure it out. If you figure out what that means, then it's not some of your cares. What does it say? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I was driving down the road the other day. I was trying to think, who could I look at and say, ah, to hell with you, and really mean it? You got anybody like that? You say, well, it's, yeah, I know some evil people. Oh, like you? You say, well, no, I know real evil people. Well, my book says that if you've committed one sin, you've committed all of them, so I guess that means like you. Well, no, I'm not like that person. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. Then you don't get it. Well, this person deserves to end up in hell, like you. No, I'm a nice person. Oh, so now you don't need Jesus because you're nice. We all need Jesus equally. We're all equally lost. All have sinned, fallen short. That's everybody. So be careful with things like, well, I hope that person burns in hell, because I don't find that in these verses. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you meet the most evil person you think you've ever met other than yourself, what do? You share the gospel with him. God loves you. Jesus died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead to save you. I don't need saving. I understand that. That's how you feel. But I'm not going to be remiss not telling you that he loves you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just confess your sin. Stop arguing with God. Start beating around, start making excuses. Okay, I'm wrong. You're right. I confess it. What does he do? He's faithful, just, forgive your sins, make you clean. Move forward. Let's go. 1 John 4:9. Now let's do 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if you go around claiming to know God and you don't love people, stop claiming to know God until you start loving people. It's hypocrisy. People smell it. They see it. If you genuinely love people, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if he's love and he lives in you, you're going to love people. You say, well, I don't love people. It's because you don't love yourself. And you don't love yourself because you won't let him love you and you don't love him. You get circulation this way and this way, it'll change this way. 2 John 1:6, I think it is. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And you say, well, that's just too simple. That's all it is. You say, well, you love God. Okay, do what he says. That's how you prove you love him. Well, I want him to love me and I want to do what I want to do. It don't work that way. And if you do that way, he's going to discipline you. He's going to chasten you. He's going to get your attention. It's not going to be pleasant. So just do what he says. God, I love you so much. I just want to do what you want me to do. 2 John 1:11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. These are, again, not complicated. Just boom, boom, boom. This is the answer. Don't imitate what is evil. Jude, two more verses, Jude 1:24. Look at this one. Man, if you thought nothing was in Jude, look at this. Hey, Jude, look at this. Jude 1:24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Who is able to keep you from stumbling? You're about to stumble. Grab you by the arm. Hey, whoa, I got you. We're not going to stumble. Keep walking. Had a guy during our prayer time, stood up, said, been an addict since he was 4 years old. His sisters were supposed to take care of him, gave him drugs or whatever at 4, more messed up than anybody in his whole family said. And he said that last night he wanted to go out, but God kept him in. What do you think that is? That's the guy that keeps you from stumbling. That's who that is. And he said he woke up today and didn't want to come to church, and here he is. You're not going to make it without Jesus, I'll tell you right now. You won't make heaven without Jesus. If you don't yield to him in this life, you won't make it without Jesus. You'll go back to your old ways. You have the power to punch it and go around all this stuff, or you can just go, oh, well, I'm only human. Anytime you hear somebody say, I'm only human, they're not Christians. Stop saying that if you're a Christian. You are not only human. You are a new creation. Old things passed away. All things are new. You're not only human. There's a new man.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Last one, Revelation 21:4. And this will be someday. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There's the New Testament. There is no New Testament without Jesus and his cross and his burial and resurrection. There is no anything without that. It all looked forward to that, back to that, Jesus prepared for 30 years, for 3 years, for 3 days to save my sorry soul. And I'm glad he did.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.